Good morning and welcome to the Library Show here on Raven Radio KCAW Sitka. My name is Brooke Schaefer and I'm your host this week, and I'm joined in the studio by my coworker, Greg Mandel. Greg, thanks for coming in this morning.
You're welcome, Brooke. Thanks for having me.
So, Greg, you're here to talk not about books, actually, but about movies. And before we jump into that, I want to just kind of find out, when did you work at the Sitka Public Library. How long have you been working for the library?
About 2 years.
So just enough time to see all the changes,
That's right. The moves. Not nearly as long as you have.
No, but you've been in charge of some changes, too, since you joined the library team.
Have I?
Yeah. You started a brand new program, and that's kind of what I want to chat with you about today. You started something called the Film Noir Club. Is that correct? Am I calling it correctly?
Film Noir. If you have to pronounce it like the French, you noir.
Okay.
Okay. Noir.
Or is that like a Southern accent? I'm not
sure. I don't
know.
I have no idea. I don't know what I'm talking about. It is a French term, but we can pronounce it the American way, noir.
Okay.
That's what everybody does. So,
Film Noir is happens at the Sitka Public Library, and it happens about once a month. Is that right?
Yeah, once a month on a Saturday night, 7 p.m., usually the first or second Saturday of a month. We all get together, and we screen a classic film noir.
Okay.
And usually I'll get up and introduce the film, and then we'll watch it. We have free refreshments. We have popcorn. We serve Oreos because they're black and white.
Ah, of course.
And some other refreshments. And then after the movie, I'll get up and bloviate a little more and take questions or comments. And so it's great. And it's the great thing about film noir is that these films are usually only about an hour and a half at the most.
Hmm.
So even if you don't like it, you haven't wasted that much time.
And so, can anyone come?
Absolutely. It's open to everybody.
Okay.
Anybody can come, and we welcome everybody with open arms.
And do people need to sign up beforehand, or
Nope. Can
just come the day of, look for advertisements?
Yeah, We'll have our movie of the month is usually up well in advance on our website, on our calendar. We'll have flyers up in the library, something in the newspaper, and all the radio stations like
Great.
This one.
Excellent.
And so, yeah, it's advertised pretty well.
Okay. So. Okay. And I suppose if people do have questions, they could probably call you at the library. Why don't we just throw out that phone number right now?
Absolutely.
Here at the beginning? What is your direct line?
I don't know.
Oh.
No, actually, I do. It's 747-4025. That's
okay.
My direct line.
Okay. Well, I want to get into film noir. I'd like to know a little bit. Well, I want to know what it is, but I also am curious, Greg, about how you got into film noir. Like, when did you start? What piqued your curiosity in it, or how did you become a buff of this kind of film?
I always loved old movies, and I probably got that from my parents, and I guess it just grew over the years, and I naturally gravitated towards film noir because I love mysteries. And then I guess about 5 years ago or so, I started a website, and I started collecting all of the titles, the film noir titles that are commonly identified as noirs. And so I just wanted to put them all together, and then I thought I'd offer my own little rating system. And so I've got about more than 500 titles.
Whoa, okay.
And I've seen about somewhere north of 350. And so I have like a star rating system that I do, and I've got my top 100 on there, and
that's great.
It's basically a hobby that's taken control of my life.
Okay. Maybe we can post the URL, or if it's a simple one, you could even say it on the air if people want to check out this website list.
Yeah, it's sort of simple. It's called the Noir Room, but it's noirroom.weebly.com.
And how do you spell Weebly?
W-E-E-B-L-Y.
Okay. Okay, cool. And we'll try and post that on Facebook, the Library Show Facebook page, so people can look it up there if they want to check it out.
Yeah, it's just fun. It's not, I'm not passing myself off as an expert or anything like that.
Okay.
For that stuff, you want to try and find a guy named Eddie Muller, who calls himself the Czar of Noir.
Okay.
And he is. He started something called the Film Noir Foundation, which does a lot of great work, and they've gone around restoring lost film noirs, and which because a lot of these old films have disappeared because a lot of them were independently produced, so they didn't have a studio system to take care of the film, and the films over the years just disappeared. They, you know, disintegrated, and they were in such bad shape they couldn't be shown. And what the Film Noir Foundation does is it tracks these films down, different prints from all over the world. They'll find out. It's almost like a detective story in its own. And they find these films, and they put them together and restore them and make a really great print. And then they promote them, and they re-release them, which is happening. And in fact, the film that we're going to be showing in August is one that they just re-released, cool, which I'm really excited about. It's re-released about a month ago with this new print. And previously, the print had been so bad that it really couldn't be shown in public. Yeah.
I'm curious, why were they independently produced? Were they not popular at the time that they were being, like, why would studios not?
No, they were just independent. There were producers who worked independently from the studio system.
Okay.
And so they would produce these films independently. And, I mean, there were a lot of really big films that were produced by independent producers.
Okay.
And, you know, so they worked outside the studio system. So the films, but then, you know, the producers died over the years, and there wasn't a studio there to
take care of to archive it. Right. Well, let's maybe backtrack a little bit and let's talk about what film noir is. How would you describe that genre? How does it, a film get to be called film noir?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question because there really isn't a definitive answer. Film critics and film experts disagree, and they all have their own definitions. But basically what they all do agree on is that film noir constitutes, the classic period of film noir constitutes films made between 1940 and 1959.
Okay.
They do disagree on exactly whether it was 1940 or 1941 and whether it ended in 58 or 59. Some say, you know, 40, some say 41, and some say 58, and some say 59. So, but it's basically the 40s and 50s.
Okay.
And what happened was during World War II, people in Europe couldn't get American films because the war was going on. And so at the end of the war, all these films came over. There was this big backlog of American films that got shipped over in a very short period of time, over like 6 weeks. So they started getting all these movies, and especially in France, they started noticing a lot of similarities that these films had. They were very dark films like Double Indemnity, The Maltese Falcon, The Big Sleep, Laura, films like that, and they were very dark. They centered around a crime, usually, but they were also very different from the films that Hollywood was producing before the war, which were a lot of screwball comedies, melodramas, and gangster films. And the French critics started noticing that these new films were different from gangster films because in a gangster film, the gangster acts the way you expect him to because he's a gangster, he's right, a killer. But in these new films, the criminals were normal people. They were love-starved husbands and wives. They were disillusioned war vets, corrupt politicians and corrupt cops and judges and, you know, gamblers and, you know, just people, could be your next-door neighbors. And that was very different. And so it was the French who started noticing all this because they saw them all at the same time.
Right.
Whereas they'd been trickling out, of course, in the U.S. over the war years. And so the French came up with the term film noir, which means black film. But in the U.S., that term was never popularized until the 70s.
Hmm.
So all these, you know, throughout the 40s and 50s in Hollywood, they're making film noirs, but they don't know it because they didn't know the term.
Right.
Not until the 1970s. So, and there are certain characteristics that have to be in a film noir to make it a film noir.
Okay.
For one thing, they usually take place in cities, although not always, but and usually on the seamier sides of cities.
Mm.
A lot of dark scenes, night scenes.
So literally, when you're talking about the French noticing that these films were dark, you also mean literally dark,
like
the coloring was... It was shady and or at nighttime.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and thematically as well.
Right.
Also a use of, you know, shadows and camera angles that portrayed a sense of claustrophobia and paranoia.
Hmm.
There's also a lot of thematic elements that go into a film noir, and a lot of people think film noirs are all film noirs have like a femme fatale, and most of them do.
Mm-hmm.
Another French term, and it's just you know, an evil woman.
You can't
trust them. A lot of people think all film noirs have a private detective, but that's really not true.
Okay,
they do have what. Eddie Muller, I'm going to go back to Eddie Muller, the czar of noir. What he says is that film noir is the flip side of the all-American success story.
Hmm.
He says it's about people who realize that following the program will never get them what they crave.
Hmm.
So they cross the line, commit a crime, and reap the consequences. Or they're tales about seemingly innocent people tortured by paranoia and tripped up by fate. And either way, he says, they depict a world that's merciless and unforgiving.
Which makes sense, considering that this was happening during World War II and post-World War I, and these films were coming out with maybe from a disillusioned country.
Right. And film noir really began when a lot of European directors and cinematographers came over to Hollywood before the war. And a lot of them were actually fleeing Nazi Germany. So they came to Hollywood. And they brought with them a certain sensibility of storytelling that was rooted in pre-war German expressionism.
Hmm.
And so that combined with screenplays that they were producing in Hollywood by this time that were heavily influenced by American crime writers like Raymond Chandler and Dashiell Hammett and James M. Cain. So these sensibilities all combined to kind of create this whole
new
thing.
Genre, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not, and film noir is not really a genre because
okay.
it crosses genres. So you can have Westerns that are film noirs.
Oh, really?
Like the Oxbow Incident is one. You can have science fiction films that are film noirs like Blade Runner or Gattaca.
Okay.
So it crosses genres, and that's another thing about film noir. It's so hard to pin down. It's like it's a style and really more than a genre.
Okay.
But and to get back into what actually constitutes a film noir, one of my favorite elements, I think that, like, I'm going to go back to Eddie Muller again. And he says that in a film noir, the protagonist is doing something wrong and knows it.
Mm.
And to take that even further, the late great critic Roger Ebert distinguishes between a crime film and a noir by saying, the difference between a crime film and a noir film is that the bad guys in a crime film know they're bad and want to be bad. And while a noir hero thinks he's a good guy who's been ambushed by life.
Mm.
And I think that's those are the really together are the best definition.
Do you
thematically?
That makes me wonder if do you root for? It sounds like the protagonist, the hero of the film, is not necessarily quote like a good guy, or doesn't do good things. So I'm curious, as a viewer, Do you find that you're rooting for this hero nonetheless, or how do you feel about these people?
I think you do, and a lot of times that has to do, I think, with the actors. For instance, like in the film High Sierra, which is stars Humphrey Bogart in the central role as a career criminal who is trying to pull off one last heist. But, you know, the character is so human, and Bogart instills in him his own, you know, sense of humanity and everything we rooted for in with Humphrey Bogart. And the character is, you know, are very well drawn and written and very three-dimensional. Mm. And so you end up rooting for these characters. And he also treats his dog really well. So that
he's
helps.
A good guy, really.
At heart. And he does a lot of good things in the film, too. But he is a criminal. But you do root for him. Then films like Double Indemnity, which is a Billy Wilder's, you know, classic film noir, which I think is kind of the quintessential film noir.
Okay.
And, you know, that is a story about a regular Joe, an insurance salesman played by Fred McMurray, of all people, who is just kind of this happy-go-lucky guy selling insurance and until he knocks on the door of Barbara Stanwyck.
Uh-oh, and then what happened?
And he's pretty much doomed from that point forward.
Because she's a femme fatale?
She is, the archetypal femme fatale.
Okay.
She is, as she admits later in the film, rotten to the core.
Okay.
And
so fate, it's fate for him that does
fate.
Him in. He...
Fate and his own decisions, too, because he decides, you know, he makes the decision to have an affair with her, and then of course he works for this insurance company, which is where the title comes in, Double Indemnity. So if they knock off her husband in a certain fashion that's in his insurance policy, they get double indemnity.
It's
greed and corruption and corruption of the soul, and very dark. And another characteristic of film noir is that they very, very rarely have happy endings.
Okay.
Some critics and experts would even say that if it has a happy ending, it's not a noir. So
people, the good guy, the one you're rooting for, is not going to get what he or she wants, generally speaking.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. They're going to pay the price for their decisions or for just being tripped up by fate.
Okay.
Like the poor schmo who is in Detour, which is another great film that we've shown. Detour is the king of the low-budget Poverty Row noirs. It was shot on a shoestring in 6 days, released in 1945. No actors that anybody would recognize unless you're a serious film noir buff. And the film had, I mean, critics even today say that, you know, you look at that film and it, even, you know, a freshman class and, you know, in a freshman film class at, you know, any university would be able to pick it apart technically because it's got so many errors and, you know, but this film is still being talked about today because it just is the essence of noir, and it just, I think like Roger Ebert said, anybody who's seen it has never been able to forget it. And I think that's probably true.
So is it because the story, I mean, so it sounds like technically maybe it has some weaknesses to it, but there's some sort of essence or the story or what, something comes through that makes it work.
Yeah. It's just the director Edgar G. Ulmer was the king of Poverty Row films. He knew how to make films on a shoestring budget. And
that's what Poverty Row films mean.
Yeah.
Like you're just very cheaply made.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he had no money and he knew that. So he had to cover things up. So like at the beginning of the film, they shoot everything at night and there's a lot of fog because they're supposed to be in New York City. But of course they were on like the back lot somewhere and you know, he wanted to cover up the cheap sets.
Right.
So they do things like that.
Okay.
And pretty much a lot of the film is, you know, this poor schmo, Al, I think his name is Al Roberts in the film, played by Tom Neal. Yeah, nobody's heard of these actors that were in this film, but he's hitchhiking across country because he's a piano player and his girlfriend has just moved from New York City to L.A. and he wants to join her. And so a lot of the film is shot in the front seat of a car, and of course they just use process shots, which are those shots from old movies where they're traveling in a car and there's like a screen behind them,
right,
showing the road.
Right.
That great, you know, those great scenes that were made fun of in Airplane.
Right.
Like that. So there's a lot of that. But the story and the writing are so fantastic. Mm. And really the performances by the two leads, Tom Neal and Ann Savage. You know, it's just, and the whole thing is he keeps saying it over and over again, fate, everywhere I turn, fate sticks out its foot to trip me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he kind of convinces himself that he's a good guy and that everything, all the decisions he's making, you know, it's just bad luck.
Okay.
Maybe
which, not totally true.
Right.
Sounds like, yeah.
So, but that's, to me, the essence of noir. You know, films like that and DOA, which is another really low-budget film that we've shown, that's a cult classic, fantastic film with Edmund O'Brien as a doomed notary public.
Sounds pretty dry. Pretty dry. but I take it it's not.
It's not, though. He's on vacation in San Francisco, and I don't want to ruin the film because everybody who hasn't seen it should see it.
Okay.
And that's part of the whole thing with this Film Noir Club, is that's the whole point of it. I think these films should be seen and they should be known, and it's a lot of fun to share them with people.
So let's talk a little bit about some of your favorite films. Could you choose your favorite film noir that, you know, your personal favorite, not necessarily the best that's been ever made, but.
Yeah. I mean, I do have, like, on my website, I have my top 100.
Mm-hmm.
So Chinatown is always on the top of the list for me. I think, although it's technically a neo-noir. Because
isn't that really late? When was that?
Yeah, it came out in 74. And anything that comes out after the classic period, which ends in 59, is called a neo-noir.
Okay.
And there's a lot of neo-noirs. I mean, they're still making film noirs today.
Okay. What would be an example of that? Or if you could think of one off the top of your head.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff the Coen brothers do are film noirs. Blood Simple, Fargo.
Okay.
And
look for things not turning out for the characters. That's
right.
Going to be one sign.
Yeah, if there's a crime at the center of the film and the central character is not really a good guy.
Okay.
But not a gangster film, so not like The Godfather, because the gangster films are different from noirs, but maybe somebody who doesn't necessarily think of himself as a bad guy.
I wonder if that film, I don't think it's too light to fall into the film noir category, but when you said the Coen brothers, it made me think of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And the main character in there is a guy who doesn't take responsibility, maybe not making the best decisions. And
yeah, I would classify that more as a comedy, but it
right.
definitely has elements of film noir. And another one of the Coen brothers did that is like that also is The Big Lebowski.
Oh, right.
Which is a film that I really love. But that's a comedy, but it's actually sort of based on The Big Sleep,
okay.
the great book by Raymond Chandler, and the films that have been made since then. Of course, the famous one with Bogey and Bacall. But it's a comedy, but it also has elements of film noir as well. And
right.
it's heavily influenced by film noir. Blood Simple was the Coen brothers' first film, and that's really a film noir all the way.
Dark through and through.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
there's a crime at the center of it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know the storyline.
We have it at the library.
Okay. Okay. I take that.
Check it out. You have a library card, I know.
I do. All right. So that's good to know. The library carries quite a few of these film noirs. The ones that
you have, and you know, we're getting more since I started the club. I've asked for several of these films to be added to the collection, and several of them have been. So Yeah, most of the ones we've shown are in our collection.
Great.
Not all of them. One of them I want to point out that we did show that people might be interested in is a little known film called Cry Vengeance, which was shot on location in Ketchikan in 1954. Cry Vengeance, it's not a great film or anything like that, but it's actually a pretty good little noir. It's not bad. And it was shot on location, most of it, in Ketchikan in 1954. So people here will probably get a kick out of seeing Ketchikan in 54. And when we screened it at the library, we had a couple people in the audience who were there when it was being filmed.
Cool.
Including one woman whose father owned Ellis Airlines, the airline up there.
Okay.
That was featured in the film. So she had some insight into all of that, and that was really cool. So,
and who was in that film? Who were the actors, do you recall?
Mark Stevens was the driving force. He directed it and starred in it. And he's another one of these interesting noir characters. Not a lot of people know who he is anymore. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, kind of a hot property at one time for a very short period of time. And he, made a couple of, his career didn't really go as planned, but he did make a couple of really great little noirs. This one, Cry Vengeance, for, you know, again, not really shot with a lot of budget, mm-hmm. but it's a pretty good little film. And another one called Timetable, which is pretty good also. His career didn't end tragically or anything like that, but it just never
take off.
Yeah, it didn't really take off, but.
We actually are just about out of time, I know we want to take a moment to plug, the Film Noir Club. So maybe you can give people a taste of what's to come. You did mention that there's going to be a re-released film noir in August. Do you have the title of that one? Are you kind of at liberty to say what people can expect?
Yes. It's called Too Late for Tears, and it stars Elizabeth Scott and Dan Duryea, one of my favorite character actors, who always played the sleazy, weaselly guy in noirs and westerns.
So there'll be some sleaze in this one, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a great little film, not really well known yet. And a lot of that is because this film, you know, was in such bad shape that it couldn't be shown in public for a long, long time and was recently restored by the Film Noir Foundation and just released last month on DVD. So
excellent.
Really looking forward to that. And that's going to be Saturday, August 6th
at
7 o'clock at the library. So.
Wonderful. And call 747-8708 or
if you have
Greg directly at
747-4025.
If you have questions about that. Yeah. And then also, I think you know the pulse of the library. Are there some other things going on that you want to plug beyond the film noir?
Yeah. As people probably know, there's a new Harry Potter book coming out the end of July. July 30th, I think, is the release date.
31st.
31st.
Very close.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Wow. It's Harry Potter and the Cursed Child,
there you go.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. And so to celebrate that, we have a couple of programs. Our youth librarian, Maite Lorente, who does a great job, she's doing a Harry Potter table Quidditch tournament.
Excellent.
And this involves four teams, which represent the four houses in Harry Potter.
Right.
And so anyway, so there's limited room. People have to register for these, mm-hmm. For this program. There's room for 10 kids on each team, so that's 40 total. If you don't get into one of the houses, you can register to be in the audience.
Oh, perfect. And so, is there a limit to that, or is that open?
Well, I think there's going to be probably a limit to the audience because it's a room. You know, we're limited by the fire marshal and how many people we can get in there. You have to register to even get in to be in the audience. But there's also at the same time going to be a Harry Potter scavenger hunt.
Okay.
I think same age group, 9 to 11.
In the library. Excellent.
And I don't think there's a limit on how many people can participate in that.
So. Okay. Thank you, Greg, for coming in and talking about film noir with me today.
Thank you, Brooke. It was fun.
Great. And thank you all for tuning in to the Library Show. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka.